Hello, Lionhook Nation. This is Ray DeLucci with the Lionhook Thoughts Podcast. Hope everyone is doing well. Thank you for tuning in to another episode. I wanted to talk about a concept that I talked about before, but I wanted to elaborate on it as we move forward in the food industry. It's been a while since we talked about it. And this idea of paying dues and the idea of basically, you know, there's a large shortage of line cooks right now. And I think a lot of that has to do with how the restaurant industry has been set up for so many years. So I want to just give some thought, give some ideas, share what I've been shared with by a bunch of cooks, and basically just go and talk through this and see if we can't, or if I can at least try to give some insight as to what is going on. Because I think it's going to be important. I think it is important. I think it's going to be a very large topic. The idea of not having people to actually work in the restaurants we want to open or we want to reopen. And I have some firsthand experience. I've had some cooks that I've talked to about this. I'm sure I'm going to have more episodes on it. But I did want to address a little bit of it because it is starting to become an issue. And so that's going to be what today's podcast is. Today is a solo episode. And I just hope you all enjoy the podcast or at least get some value from it. Before we begin, go check out winecookthoughts.com. We have our official Wine Cook Nation blog up where we've shared a ton of great value in terms of people, you know, writing about their passions, what they're passionate about. And it's all about food, the food industry. And so if you love food, if you love to, you know, read about the food industry, go to winecookthoughts.com to read our official blog. Also, if you are on Apple, please leave us a review. It does not need to be a 5-star review, but rather a review that is something, you know, on how I could be better, some topics you want to see, or just your general enjoyment of the show. So please leave a review on Apple. It helps me get more awareness to the show, and it lets me know how I can be a better podcaster. Lastly, I just want to say, you know, thank you to everyone. Over the last few weeks, I've been branching out into some video content, especially on Instagram Reels and TikTok. Our TikTok is Line Cook Thoughts, obviously. And I have been met with a lot of great feedback. You know, doing videos, I just did a recent video on food costs and why it's important for cooks to know, and just the idea of what food cost is and how to control it. And so just stuff like that as well. I'll be sharing some more restaurant management fundamentals is really what I want to get into for video content. So keep an eye out for that. Thank you so much though for the positive feedback and reinforcement. And I'm excited to be branching out this new type of content. So thank you all so much for listening. I hope everyone's doing well. I know it's still some crazy times with the pandemic, with work, with restaurants, but I just hope everyone's doing well. And I do want to say this, that this episode is going to be more so what I've heard from cooks. And this episode is going to share maybe some flaws that we've seen in the restaurant industry. This isn't me not liking restaurants or supporting restaurants. I love restaurants and I worked in them for many years and I really enjoy them. But there is also a large group of people in our industry who feel jaded or just neglected from working behind the line. And I don't think it's one restaurant's fault. I just think it's how the system of restaurants in general has been set up. And so this isn't a podcast to say that you shouldn't work in restaurants. I mean, the page and podcast is Line Cook Thoughts. It's the people who work in food service. But I also do want to represent the people who work in food service that aren't in restaurants, or maybe who have had to leave restaurants due to the pandemic or due to situations out of their control, and me being one of them. So I, you know, am fully aware of everything going on. And this is really just a podcast going over what I've seen in the community of cooks that, you know, are engaged in Line Cook Thoughts and whatnot, and what I've been seeing across the map in terms of cooks and also chefs, you know, looking for help and whatnot. So that's going to be today's podcast. Thank you all so much for listening. And here we go. So as I stated, this isn't a podcast that's going to be like one episode and it's done. I feel like I'm going to be talking about this a lot more in the coming months, especially as we get into the summer and as things get busier. So I just want to preface the conversation with saying that this is just a base view so far on what I'm seeing. This isn't concrete evidence. I do plan on doing work where I talk to more people in the community, but this is just based off what I'm seeing and what I'm noticing, and I'd love to hear thoughts. But I do want to jump in and at least share my viewpoints. And a lot of this stuff I've been talking about on Twitter, I've been talking about through Clubhouse, I've been talking about on Instagram. And so I wanted to put maybe just a summary of what I viewed. So this is my view, this is my own opinion of what I what's been shared with me, what I've seen. So that's what I wanted to talk about today. So I really do think that, and it's already happening, but I really do think the conversation of not having a large workforce to pull from with cooks is going to be a huge issue in the next few years, starting now and going into the next few years. And I know some of you might be like, well, no crap, this is already happening. But some of you might be like, well, I didn't even realize that, or maybe it's not something I've been paying attention to. So whether or not you've recognized it, I think, or I know this is going to be a large issue. This idea that we can't find cooks or we can't hire anyone. I mean, I was hearing this back in the summer months. I was hearing this back before the, you know, second wave kind of came in the fall and in the winter. The idea that we just couldn't find cooks. And so it's interesting to think about, and it's an interesting thing to see. And it's a tough thing to see because before the pandemic, I feel, you know, there was the idea if you could cook, you could go anywhere in the industry or anywhere in the world and work. And so before the pandemic, there were a lot of restaurants obviously operating, opened. And maybe, you know, maybe it sometimes felt like it was a lot of competition to find a solid job cooking because there are so many people applying. And so now restaurant owners are in this terrible situation where for the last year, if the restaurants survive, they've had to be closed down and they've had to only do takeout. And it's, you know, obviously not their fault. We had a pandemic. We had you know, public health and safety be a priority. So that's why it happened. So through no fault of their own, they've had to shut down restaurants or they've had to close their dining rooms and work on a limited staff with a limited budget, with a limited menu. And so that happens. And as we start to open up, there's this realization that the labor that we had to let go of, or the labor that was supposed to be there that we've always counted on in the past couple of years or the years we've been open, is no longer there anymore. And, you know, I find it's tough. I mean, I couldn't imagine being a restaurant operator. I've shared in the past my experience, the most I've managed restaurants within a group, but I've never operated and built my own restaurant. And so I don't want to talk as if I know what that is like. I have experience managing restaurants with costs like labor costs, food costs, scheduling and whatnot. So I have that experience. So I'll preface with saying like that's the experience I have. I don't have the experience of building my own business as a restaurant owner. So I can only imagine how tough it is. And I can only imagine how painful it has been to be in this business the last year as a restaurant operator and owner. You know, I think before we get into talking about cooks, it does need to be said that operating through this time is just so tough and challenging. I wrote a piece back in the summer basically saying, you know, leaving the restaurant industry right now to go find something else isn't selling out, as an article in Plate magazine. And it's so true. Like I've talked to so many people. You know, a great example of someone who's had to make a huge pivot and who's been very open about it is Chef Taffy Elrod. You can find her on Twitter. I did a podcast with her and she was basically sharing how, you know, this things just weren't feasible right now. So she's had to, you know, pivot out of it. And so you have that, you have this shift for these very talented people, these very entrepreneurial people literally just couldn't make it work with the restrictions in COVID, right? So we've lost a lot of independent restaurants, of course. And now we're in another phase where these restaurants aren't going to be able to operate at a capacity that maybe they were used to, they were projecting or forecasting, or maybe they need to. And that's because of the lack of labor. And as someone who was managing restaurants pre-pandemic and it now is not working in restaurants directly, as I've shared before, but working in another career path of food and like R&D and whatnot, I empathize with the restaurant manager and I also empathize with the cook. And I think that's why, you know, this brand always looks at the whole idea of what it means to operate within the food industry of food and food business. And, you know, restaurants are a huge part of that, but they're not the only, they're not the only industry you can go into, or they're not the only sector of the industry you can go into. That being said, it is challenging to be a restaurant owner or operator right now, especially with this problem, this huge problem that I feel like is going to get worse. But I would, you know, I've been having conversations on Twitter, and there's just this general feeling for people working in restaurants that the instability, I think the restaurant industry for so long was built on this pride of instability, of not a set schedule, being able to be called in whenever, maybe not having basic things like health insurance, you know, working 60, 70 hours a week, this idea of instability, but it was almost like dangerous, but it was like a thrill. And a lot of us, I was in this boat at some point. We pride ourselves on this like outlaw type lifestyle, not outlaw is maybe the word, but just a non-generic way of working in today's society, where you have all these different expectations or all these different stress points or whatever it is. So, you know, we are so used to that, right? But I really think over the next few years, that's going to change dramatically. I really think cooks and people in the industry, these creative, thoughtful, professional people in the industry, are going to expect more from their positions. And I don't want to say expect more from restaurants entirely, because sometimes it's not feasible for some restaurants to operate in certain ways. But I think a big thing that a lot of cooks are going to be looking for is healthcare. Healthcare for a job is something that many people have, you know, look to expect. And there's hourly positions that get healthcare within food too. And I think that's a huge thing. And yes, obviously it's expensive, and not every restaurant, I don't know the answer to this. And so I don't want it to come off as like, well, restaurants need to offer healthcare to cooks in order to get cooks hired. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying, though, that I do think that there's going to be this, from what I've talked with cooks, there's going to be an expectation of the healthcare component. Some cooks I've talked to want to know why they don't get offered 401ks. And some people want better pay, obviously. Like, these are all things that we've talked about in the restaurant industry, but now it's like almost like a force of the hand. Like, no, this is not like something we're talking about maybe getting. This is something we want, and if you cannot provide it, we will go elsewhere type situation. And so I think this is an interesting point, and I think it's something that we're going to see a lot of places maybe not struggle with, but it's just going to be something they're going to have to adjust with. But some places will struggle, you know. And so it's interesting, to say the least. And you look at it from a cook's point of view, conversations like, well, you know, today's generation just doesn't want to work, or these cooks just don't want to work. No, that's not it. It's not so, like, if cooks aren't working in restaurants, it's not like they're not working. And I think this is a big flaw in the industry for many people. Fine dining and restaurants are not the only, and I've been saying this for years, and it's not a knock on fine dining or restaurants, but I just, like, it's not the only thing where if you have a background in food, you can get a job. It's not the only thing. It's not the only, and not everyone has it. Like, I don't have it in my mind that if you're not going for fine dining, you're not aspiring to be a great person in food. There's so many different outlets now. And I think a lot of the industry is stuck in this idea of you need to be on this certain path still to this day. You need to be on this certain path. You need to be able to do this or that to be considered successful. You need to pay your dues. And that's just not, a lot of people aren't really like in that same realm. They're not working for that. And they truly, a lot of people don't care about what you think dues are paid. What dues are paid? Yes, experience, and we'll go in a little bit between experience and dues, because I went on Twitter about this last night. But okay, you don't think I paid my dues? Like, I will go somewhere else and work in there, and I will give them my time, you know, for them. So, like, it's interesting to think about, and it's how cooks are telling me they feel right now. You know, who's to tell someone right now looking for work and looking for better pay? Oh, well, we can't offer you certain things because you didn't pay your dues, or you didn't spend enough time in the industry. Well, who, and the cooks is just, they're just telling me, like, who is this person to tell me I didn't pay my dues? Like, and who are they saying to not, like, so I guess let's go into that conversation. Let's go into the pay the dues thing. The difference between experience and paying dues, experience is a valuable skill. It's something that you can, share. It's something that, you know, experience, like, you have experience managing a restaurant, which means you've managed people before, you manage costs, you know how to do that. That's knowledge. Those are valuable things. You want experience, you want to grow your experience, and you want to get different and a variety of experiences so that you're able to be, you're able to provide more to whoever it is you're working. Paying dues, what I've found in the industry, is often a way of saying, well, we just don't think you've spent enough time doing X. And not everyone, but when I have this conversation with people who expect others to pay dues, they always lead with, or they at least in some point, they always come through with, well, back when I was starting out, I had to scrape, you know, I had to do this or that. I had to work at a kitchen for 2 years, and then I had to work at this other position as a sous chef for 4 years, and then I was allowed to be a sous chef, or an executive chef. And that's just not the case anymore. And it's not a disrespectful thing, but it shouldn't be someone else's career path is dictated, like the speed or how they do things shouldn't be dictated on the way you did it. Especially, and if you didn't like the way you did it, like, that's not on the next generation of cooks to deal with that. Like, and that's like, we should be looking to get people more experience, and we should be looking to get people up to a more proficient way of building a restaurant or building a food business so that we can have more successful operators and we can have more successful people in the industry. And so experience is 100% necessary. You cannot just walk into a kitchen and become an executive chef. I truly understand that. And it takes a long time or a certain amount of time to get those skills. But there are many, many executive chefs who do a really good job in our industry, whether it be in the United States or elsewhere. And a lot of times, some of those chefs are very young. Some of those chefs have been in the industry for 20 years. It's just about how well you're able to learn certain things. It's about the environments you're in. It's about the people guiding you. And when this conversation comes up about paying dues, it really annoys me because paying dues is subject to someone's opinion. Like, you don't put on your resume, you wouldn't put on your resume, oh, well, I paid my dues at this restaurant for 2 years. No, you put on your experience you got. And the, you know, what, like, that experience is like tangible things you can say. And so when people are like, well, you need to pay your dues in the industry in order to get like this position, or they dangle, like, I know a lot of places, this is from people telling me from own experiences, they'll dangle like a position. They'll be like, well, if you pay your dues or you know, show your initiative, you'll get to this point. And cooks aren't looking for this anymore. They want concrete, or if it's not concrete, at least an idea of where they're headed. You know, no one, especially now, wants to be in a job that's not going to offer growth or stability. And with restaurants, it's like, if you can't, and this is like, I guess this is the thing, like, if you can't guarantee, like, just, I guess, just be honest and don't use the paying dues thing to get people in the door. If there's not a true path right now for a cook to become a sous chef and they want that, just be honest with them and say, hey, like, we don't have a set path. It basically works where you work, and we train you, and then at some point you become a sous chef. But don't give like a, I just don't like the dangling of like, well, as long as you pay your dues, you know, and as long as you, you know, you got to pay your dues and then you'll be considered for that. It's like, people aren't looking for that right now. And it's tough. And it's, you know, it's like I said, coming from someone who talks to cooks, like, yes, as a restaurant operator owner, it would be extremely tough to build out a career path and an extension of what cooks, you know, kind of are looking for, but that's what they're looking for. So I'm not going to like, just, I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm telling you, I'm trying to share what has been shared with me over the last few months, right? Really the last year since the pandemic started. So one more thing I'm paying dues to is, it only seems to happen in like a certain sector. I've worked now in, I've managed restaurants, I've worked in food retail, and I worked in R&D. And this idea of like experience, yes, is important, but like I was never, like when I was working outside of fine dining, I've never been like told you need to, you know, pay your dues. I've been told you need to spend time and get experience, and that's understandable. You can't, like I said, you cannot go in, but there's never like this point where it's like, we're going to hold you back because you're going to have to pay your dues. Really saying you're going to have to hold you back because we had to go through this, or the people around you have gone through this. So that's basically what I'm trying to say. And that the labor force that I've talked to are not looking for that. They truly don't care about the dues. They want to know what experience they need. They want to know what experience they gain, and they want to know what the path is for them. And it's tough. And it's, like I said, it's a very unfair situation for restaurant operators. another big reason cooks are telling me they're not going back is, you know, the pay, obviously, but the more so, I think the instability of schedules for so long has been, well, we only need you 20 hours this week, or we only, but yet next week we need you 30 hours. And then this next week we only needed you 15 hours. So uneven paychecks, obviously, are another big thing, an uneven or an unguaranteed schedule. So going back to a point I was talking about earlier is, well, and the point that I hate, the point that I cannot, that I will not like defend or try to like make sense of, the idea that, well, people just don't want to work anymore. That's always said by certain people, and it's not true. I want to work. I want to work hard, but I also want to have a healthy life outside of that. And it shouldn't be looked down upon if you want a work-life balance. It shouldn't be looked down upon if you want a healthy way of living, or you want to live a certain way. If you want to work 60 hours a week, 70 hours a week, 80 hours a week behind the line, like go, like that's totally fine if that's what you want to do. But if another person wants to work 40 to 50 and they want to spend time with their family and maybe hang out with their kids, or even if they're younger like myself, they want to work on other projects they might have going on or spend their time doing other things. Like, I don't know, like I spend a lot of my time obviously doing the podcast. I write, I read, I have, you know, I take care of my dog. Like there's other things I work on outside of work. That's fine too. And I think this other idea in the industry of we need to be strict and we need to be rigid. And if you're not putting your entire life, livelihood, like you're not your entire personality into something that you're not, that you're like looked down upon, it's going to come to a point where people just don't want to deal with that anymore. And to ask, like, where did the cooks go? There, a lot of cooks have looked for jobs that are more stable. I mean, I've seen a lot of my people I know going and leaving, not just restaurants. So, like, I've been saying how, like, if you leave restaurants and work in another place in food, that's okay. It doesn't make you a sellout. And it shouldn't. Like, no one should think that. But I've seen some people literally leave food and they're going back to school for other skills. They're working in other industries where they were able to transfer their, you know, management or people or human resources skills into other industries. And like, that's okay too, but that's where these workers are going. They want some more stability and they want just the ability to make a wage that stays the same. And they want basic things like healthcare, which is very tough as a single owned independent restaurant to do. So why am I sharing all this? I'm sharing all this because, like I said, it's something that's come up like so much in the last 2 weeks. It's something that my audience, I'm very grateful for them to keep. They keep, like, a lot of people are asking me, like, you know, have you seen like any positions, like, or people looking for work, or are you, you know, a lot of people have been asking me, like, what is like the vibe in terms of cooks coming back into the industry? I'll share this story. I had a chef I was talking to. This person had staff that they had to let go of, and basically they tried, you know, as we're starting to open back up, they tried to get the staff to come back to work, to come work in the restaurant. And this one, two of these cooks are both not, they don't want to cook anymore. They couldn't work because of the restaurant not needing them. So they went and they started to do a gig economy platform such as Uber and Lyft. And they literally told the chef that they don't want to come back anymore because they make more money doing this. They work on their own schedule. They're not stressed. They're able to take care of themselves and they don't have to deal with working extremely late at night and, you know, the stress that comes inherently with restaurants. So it's not an issue. I can't be mad at these people for wanting to go do something that was healthier for them or that made them more profit. I can't be, and I feel terrible for the restaurant operator in this situation because, you know, you build and you put money into training people and this wasn't your fault that this happened, yet people are making decisions that are outside of your control in a terrible time that is outside of your control, but it's just the reality. And so that's what my goal with this episode was. It is, and it will be to continually share what cooks and chefs are thinking and kind of just bringing up these ideas and topics. I don't know the answer to this. I don't know how it works out. I don't know what we can do. Like I said, I'm not an operator of a restaurant, but I'm not cooking in restaurants right now. But just the other day, I had 5 DMs from people on Instagram telling me where they're headed to outside of restaurants and what other sectors of the industry they're working in, and if I thought it was a good idea or a bad idea, or if they'll be judged. And, you know, I give my honest opinion, I just basically give what I always say is, like, you got to do what's best for you. But restaurants were hurting during the pandemic due to the lockdowns, but I really do see them hurting post-pandemic due to not being able to staff properly. So it's, like I said, I the reason I wanted to make this episode is because I really truly worry about the food industry or the restaurant industry. I don't really worry about food. I worry more so about restaurants, restaurant workers, restaurant owners, because I feel like our industry for so long has been stuck in such ideas and principles, and it has not allowed for great adaptation or for great movement when it comes to listening to the workforce or being able to adapt to wants or needs, especially in situations where cooks are leaving because they literally cannot afford to work in those places anymore because they cannot make rent or they cannot pay the bills, you know? And I think that's another big thing we have to keep in mind. COVID has shaken up so much. There's so many people that have had to move out of major cities, that have had to move back home. And I think a lot of people see, when you think about people moving or whatnot, like, imagine a cook who's working in a restaurant and her sister has to come live with her, and now she's also having to pay groceries for that sister. So that's more money and more capital. And she slowly realizes that she cannot work in a restaurant anymore because it's just literally economically not possible for her right now. There's so much going on. There's so many different factors as to why people are not necessarily looking to work in restaurants. And there's a lot that cannot be controlled, but there are certain things that can be. And I think it would be very important to have set up, like, what paths people in your industry or in your restaurant or in your group will take. I think it's very important to look for experience, but also look for, like, motivation and attitude and, like, how that's going to play into things. I think the idea of paying dues needs to, like, really just be put away right now, because you are going to miss out on such great talent. Like, if everyone that comes through your door that's a leader needs to pay a certain amount of dues, you could have a lot of great young leaders that could help your restaurant grow right now that you're holding back on because they didn't quote unquote pay dues like you had to. So I think that needs to come to an end, or the idea, if the misuse of that idea needs to, and experience an actual how the person works needs to be evaluated rather than a preset notion of what dues need to be paid. And I just think that there needs to be an understanding of both what a restaurant owner is dealing with and what cooks are dealing with. And that's what my goal with this podcast and with the content I'm putting out. I'm starting to try to put out food business. I am putting out food business content, you know, explaining food costs, explaining labor costs. There's a lack of knowledge of what, for a lot of people, of what it really takes to own a restaurant and operate a restaurant. So if I can help in that in any way, that's what I want to do. I just think there's a lot of expectations that aren't in the same realm for a lot of different people right now. And so I hope that what Line Cook Thoughts does is it gives a voice to cooks and chefs and allows us to all come on even ground to understand what we both need. And I think that's the other biggest thing is, you know, for the longest time, for me at least, it felt like you were kind of at the whim of rest of, I don't want to say like at the whim, but like, you needed, like, we all wanted to work in great restaurants and we all want to work in restaurants that are good, but that relationship cannot, I don't think that relationship is going to be like the chef says exactly what he wants and like, that's it. Like, and I know that's going to make a lot of people upset, and it's not like the cooks are running the kitchen per se, but more so it's like, there needs to be some agency in both sides of the partnership. You know, the restaurant obviously is the employer. It's the person who's giving you your paycheck, but there also needs to be an understanding of, all right, so like, what are you looking for before we hire you? Or what are you like if a cook brings up to you something they're passionate about or something that's bothering them, you know, that's where we need to be more understanding, or we need to like listen, because A, that will keep them retained at your under your employment, and actually it might make your restaurant a better place and a place where more cooks want to work at. So those are just some thoughts. I'd love to hear everyone's just thoughts and ideas and understandings of what's going on. I definitely suggest going to Twitter, at CookThoughts is my handle. There's a bunch of people on Twitter right now talking to me about this issue and really just going against the idea of the old way restaurants used to be in terms of like the paying dues type mindset. And I feel like it was almost a year ago. It might be longer, of where I had an episode about paying dues. And, you know, I think someone who talks really great about this is Chef Kwame. In his book, he talks about paying dues and kind of how it's set up and what the flaws are in it. So I would definitely recommend you reading that. But it's definitely a topic that I think we're going to have to talk more about. And I think it's something that we're going to have to just pay attention to. So that's my explanation for this. That's everything I've noticed so far. I will be working more on projects, understanding exactly how we can do better for people in the restaurant industry. And that doesn't just mean the workers, but also the owners and operators. And I just want to be able to tell the stories of the people that work in food. And right now, some of the biggest stories are people choosing to not work necessarily in restaurants anymore. And it's tough to see because you're going to see a lot of restaurants struggle through this on that end. But it's also really positive to see for the people that are making decisions that are better for themselves. And so at the end of the day, I'm not going to sit here and hate on a restaurant owner or hate on a cook for a decision they made that, you know, helps them create business or create betterment for themselves. I just think there needs to be an understanding of why people are making these decisions rather than, oh, well, they're leaving because they can't hack it in the industry. Well, no, that's not I don't think that's the case. That's my thoughts on the current state of the industry right now. Love to hear what you all think. And yeah, thank you for listening. Well, there was the episode for today. I know that was a lot of information thrown at you. I have my notes here of kind of points I wanted to get across, you know, quotes from what cooks have shared with me, quotes from what operators and restaurant owners have shared with me, and just some notes from talking to people on Twitter and other social media platforms. So I just felt like I had to expand on some topics. I wanted to make myself clear, and just thank you all so much for listening again. Before we leave, I do want to say a longtime friend of the show and a personal best friend, Cole Bailey, someone who's been on the show a couple times, has launched his new podcast, and I'm actually featured on it. It's called What Do I Do With My Hands? It's a workplace advice podcast. You can find it on Apple or Spotify. It's called What Do I Do With My Hands? And I'm actually episode number 2, and he interviews me, and it was really nice to be on the other side of the mic and to kind of chat about my ideas and why Line Cook Thoughts was born and what my plans are with it. So go check out that podcast if you have not heard it already. It's a really great episode, and I just want to thank him for having me on. I also want to say go to linecookthoughts.com for the official Line Cook Nation blog. You'll see there a lot of great information. We actually have an article from someone who's had to leave the restaurant industry. There was so much great feedback, but basically she couldn't work in the industry anymore because she had to provide more for her family. And it's a reality that many are facing right now. So I would hope that many people will go check that out. I feel like some will resonate with it, but it's definitely a really well-written article. Lastly, I want to say if you are on Apple, please leave a review. I'm not asking for a 5-star review, but just an honest review of the podcast, and would love to hear, you know, what you think could be better, what topics you want to hear. And before we end today, like I said in the beginning, I'm not trying to take sides. And I think I would like to say that I was pretty down the middle. I just think there's a lack of understanding between what cooks want and what restaurant owners want. And I know, you know, not being a cook right now or a restaurant owner, some people are going to be like, what are you even talking about? But from what I've gathered from my community and what I've seen and what I've been reading and what I've, you know, literally just staying up, talking with people in the restaurant industry about their next moves or advice on opening a business or advice on, you know, getting more cooks, or it's something that's tough to see. And I just wanted to put both sides out there. And I also wanted to address some things such as, you know, longstanding ideas in the restaurant industry that I don't think are positive anymore, and that really inhibit growth for not only the people that work in restaurants, but the people who are running them. I feel like we have these preconceived mindsets that can really hold us back in the industry. So I really just hope that this was some value to you, the conversation and kind of what I brought out. Like I said, I do want to touch on this more. Would love, love, love if you can message me on Instagram, you know, leave a comment when I post this, email me at linecookthoughts@outlook.com. I would love to get your opinions on this, if you're seeing the same thing. And if you're feeling the same way, if you're, you know, if you're a restaurant operator or if you're a worker in the restaurant industry, so please, reach out to me. I love to have these conversations. And if you're someone who thinks the, you know, what I was kind of saying with the do's or whatnot is wrong, and maybe I have it wrong, I'm open to have discussions where I think where, you know, you could point out other things. I'm a very open person. I like to hear all sides of the story. So please share all that with me. Thank you all so much for listening to another week of the podcast, and I will see you on the next episode.